And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The First Ingredient, was written by Jesse Sandler and is dedicated to the United Jewish Appeal.
My name is Yonah Halpern. I'm a welfare worker for Malbin. In case you haven't heard, that's the organization that rehabilitates Israel's handicapped using funds raised in America by the nationwide United Jewish Appeal. We work with all kinds, the aged, the infirm, those still suffering from concentration camps. I had David Levitt for 2 weeks at a rehabilitation center. He was pushing his way around in a go-kart, a platform made of boards and a pair of roller skates. In the very first interview, I saw what we were up against.
You sent for me, Mr. Halpern?
Yes, David, I've been reading your records. I'm very impressed, so I wanted to discuss a comprehensive program with you.
Program?
What you wanted to do now that you're in Israel. Is there anything special you hope for?
A sunny corner.
What?
Get me a sunny corner where I can sell shoelaces or maybe peddle papers.
Is that what you want?
What else am I good for?
I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Why?
Because it says here you were a fighter. Let me read it. From the time he lost his family in Warsaw, David was a partisan.
Yes.
But you're only 26 now.
I was 12. All right, I've done my fighting. There's got to be an end to fighting. I've done my share. Get me a sunny corner. I'll enjoy watching the others build.
Suppose we can do more for you than that. Would you want it?
What?
Well, suppose we can help you get on your feet again.
Mine?
We have a hospital at Be'er Yaakov. The first bed that's available, we'll send you there. They'll fit you with a pair of artificial legs.
I can't.
But David...
I've been examined before. In my case, it's impossible. Save the bed for someone who can do some good.
David, listen.
No, you listen. It's taken me a long time to learn an important lesson, that each of us must take himself as he is. Each of us must see the world from his own particular throne. Mine isn't so bad.
David. Before I could stop him, he'd wheeled out and the interview was over. I sat staring down at his records and the words burned into me. From the time he was 12, he'd been a partisan. How had that fighter of a boy turned into this? And how was I to get through to him and turn him into a fighter again? David. David, I've been looking for you everywhere.
And what's the matter?
The hospital called. There's a bed ready.
I told you I wouldn't go.
But David...
How many times must I tell you? I've been examined. It's hopeless.
Doctors don't always agree. Now, perhaps at Be'er Yaakov they'll find differently. If we're willing to send you, what have you got to lose?
Do you think those examinations are fun? I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone.
Mind if I sit down?
The recreation hall is free to everybody.
How about a game of checkers?
I'd only beat you.
I'm pretty good.
I'd beat you. I've been the champion at every camp I've ever been at. I've had plenty of time to practice.
How about a little wager?
Money? I don't have any.
The trip to Be'er Yaakov.
What?
If you win, I won't mention it again. If I win, you go.
You're crazy. It's a crazy bet.
Afraid?
No, I haven't lost in 7 years. All right, it's about time I taught you a good lesson and shut you up once and for all.
Well,
Your move, Mr. Halpern.
Stuck? No. There's still this.
Mm-hmm. That gives me one, two, and another king. Resign?
I guess that does it.
I warned you, but you wouldn't listen. Yonah Halpern, big brain, big college man.
Does it give you so much pleasure to win?
Sure. You thought you were so smart. Such a big, wise guy.
And now you've chopped me down to your size. Is that it?
No.
I think it is. You told me there had to be an end to fighting. I don't think you've stopped. I think there's so much fight in you, it's boiling, and you're afraid of it. But now you'll only fight on a checkerboard where you're a champion and you don't really risk
anything. Shut
up. All right, but don't ever again say you're satisfied with what you are.
Get away from me.
I'm sorry, David. I thought I had to provoke you to stir you up. It was foolish and clumsy of me, and I apologize.
Get away.
I'm sincerely sorry, David.
Yonah. It's true what you said.
David.
You can call the hospital. I'll try it.
Thank you, David.
Guy de Bay Yakov?
Yes?
So am I. The name's Moshe. Moshe Safir.
David Levitt.
Oh, I hear it's a wonderful hospital. The doctors are just wizards. They can rebuild anything. Say, did you hear the job they did on that tractor driver from Beersheba?
No.
Well, the tractor exploded and practically blew him to bits. They took him to the doctor, and the doctor fixes him up. He asked the doctor if he'll be able to play the piano when his hands get better. The doctor says, of course. And the patient says, that's funny. I couldn't play before.
Is that supposed to be funny?
Well, maybe not, but I thought I'd give it a try. I've been watching you ever since you got on the bus. Don't you ever smile?
What for?
Look, we've all got troubles. But you're going to the hospital. They'll fit you with new legs. Don't you at least feel hope?
I can't do it. I've been examined. There's not enough of me to work with.
Oh?
Where can a man go without legs? What good is he in a country like this? Can he call himself a man? Can he ask a woman to share his life?
When you're David Levitt, 26 years old, without legs and without hope, what is there to laugh about? Still, he was wrong about one thing. There was enough reason for the doctors to go ahead. It took four long, painful operations, but finally the wizards of Be'er Yaakov managed to fit him with legs. And even then, he couldn't believe he would ever learn to use them. He lay in his hospital bed and looked down at these queer mechanical marvels. All he could feel was that they had separated him from his one true and faithful friend, a little wooden platform that had carried him so far and so long. He was holding it and twirling one of the skate wheels when Shulamit walked in.
Hello, I'm Shulamit.
Yes?
I'm your therapist, and I'm going to help you learn to walk.
Oh.
You won't be needing this platform anymore. What do you want me to do with it? Shall I have the janitor throw it away?
No. I mean, it's carried me thousands of miles. It's still good.
You're right. All it needs is a few new ball bearings and a little oil, and it's good for a trip around the world. But do you really prefer to travel this way?
It gets you there.
Well, tell me why you can't let go of it. Don't you believe you'll walk?
No.
Why not?
Because I've tried, that's why not. Because I've been lying here trying to move my crazy new inventions.
And you can't?
Not even enough to lift the covers.
Well, you don't learn to walk right off, and you don't learn in bed. First, we must teach you to stand. Now, let me put your platform here against the wall so that you can have it if you want it. But let me show you a better machine I brought.
What is that?
Just what you see. An iron cage on wheels. Now, you stand in it and it supports you. You don't have to be afraid of falling. At first, you just pull yourself along by the arms. And before you know it, your legs will be going too. Now, come on. Out of bed and try it.
No.
Oh, but
look. Take it away.
Why?
Because it hurts like fire when I try to stand. I told those confounded doctors it was no use. They kept operating and operating. I can't stand. I can't even sit on my platform. Look, you want to do something for me? Call the nurse.
She took
that thing away. Tell her if she doesn't bring it back, there's going to be a terrible accident. Don't just stand there. Run.
She isn't there.
Oh, no.
I don't know where they keep things. If only I had a wheelchair, I could push you, but I haven't. I know the cage. Stand in it, and I can push you. You can push yourself.
Okay, okay, anything, anything.
To the washroom and back. Well, heaven can't always be our destination. Whatever the destination, it was a start. After that, every day at 10, Shulamit came to give him a lesson. He began to like the cage. It gave him a feeling of security. Years and years of pushing himself on the platform had given him tremendous shoulder muscles, so this part went easy.
That's good. Very good. Why'd you stop?
Your eyes.
My eyes?
I can look straight into them. I mean, on my platform, I can only look into the eyes of children.
Oh.
Your eyes are a lot like that. Only different. Well, what's the matter with this cage? It moves so slowly. Somebody ought to be able to invent a better machine than this.
It's all right, David. That's enough for today. Good morning, David.
You're late.
Oh, I'm sorry. Something came up.
A 10 o'clock lesson means 10 o'clock, not a quarter past.
Well, we'll make up for it. We'll stay half hour overtime.
It isn't right that the next man should be penalized. I'll take the hour I'm entitled to and no more. Well, why should I worry about him when nobody ever thinks about me?
David.
I'm sorry if I don't please you, if I'm slow and don't make enough progress.
You're my best pupil.
Really? You're not just saying that?
Honest.
Well, I try. I do. I apply myself, not just in the practice hall, but back here in the room. I think about the principles involved in motion. I think about you. I mean, what you told me. Well, what are you waiting for? Bring in the cage. The hour's almost up. Am I learning to walk or to talk?
All right, David. Now we're going to try something new. You stand here.
Well, what are you doing? Why are you taking away the cage?
Because you can walk by yourself now.
No, I can't. Bring it back.
Don't be a baby. You can. You've been doing it for days without realizing.
I've been fooling you, pulling by my arms and pretending it was my legs.
Now, which of us is the teacher? I know better. You'll see.
Shulamit, bring it back.
Well, just a few steps for my sake. Look, I'm right here, waiting for you. That's good, David. Now the other leg. The other leg. And that's all there is to it. One foot in front of the other. One step at a time.
Shulamit, don't move. Stay where you were.
It's all right. It's all right.
Shulamit!
David! It's all right, David. You're all right.
Take me back to my room.
But one little fall doesn't mean anything. Everybody falls.
Take me back.
But you were walking. Five full steps.
Take me back, do you hear? Take me back!
O'clock, David.
So what?
Time for your lesson.
I don't want any.
But look, I brought the cage. We won't try the other for a while. Today, just exercise.
Until you tricked me again?
I didn't.
Did it give you pleasure? Do you get a thrill out of someone lying helpless at your feet? It's easy for you to look down. It's easy for you to talk. Come on, David. Get up, David. It's easy, David. What do you know about it?
Everything. Look.
You love it.
I have one leg like yours.
Why didn't you tell me?
A girl likes to think her legs are as pretty as anyone else's. It's flattering to think she can walk so well that no one can tell the difference. And after a while, you yourself forget about it.
How did it happen?
I'm a Sabra. I was born here. In the fighting in our village, the girl stood guard as well as the men. A sniper's bullet.
How old were you?
16. And you?
15. It was a landmine. I should have been more careful. I knew a lot about them. I'd been a soldier for 3 years by that time.
You were a man.
Not exactly. A day I was 13. A day I should have been bar mitzvah. We were hiding out in the forest, starving. One of the men shot a boar. They roasted it. It smelled delicious. But when you stop to think about it, what is a boar but a wild pig?
And this was a sacred day. It was a terrible decision. So I said, today I'll be a man. I won't promise for tomorrow, but today at least. So I went hungry.
That's like you.
You know, I've never told that story to anyone. Yona, back at the rehabilitation center, he always wanted me to talk things out. He said my problems weren't just my legs. He's got a shrewd head, that Yona. He kept asking me about girls, too. Girls? What was there to talk about? I never had a girl.
Oh?
Maybe I shouldn't be telling you this, but I've thought a lot about you. At the same time, I thought I shouldn't. I had no right, but I wanted to please you so, to be your best pupil, to walk straight off like an archduke.
I know.
Then when I fell, it was like a punishment because I'd hoped too much. But now, Shulamit, someday will you go out with me to a movie, maybe?
I'd like to.
Oh, thanks. Oh, and how will we go? With me walking in a cage? Shulamit, take it away.
It's hard to stop a man when he really wants something. David Levitt walked from one end of the room to the other, and before Shulamit could even cheer, he turned and walked all the way back again just to prove it was no accident. He was so giddy with his success that it was almost a week before he realized that all he'd accomplished was to step into a new set of problems.
What's the matter, David? Didn't you enjoy the movie?
Well, I liked the part where Victor Mature strangled the lions.
Why are you so glum?
I was just thinking of the tax on the tickets.
David.
Well, when you go to a movie, there's a tax. Make a salary, they have deductions. Get married, there's a marriage tax.
The same all over.
I know. So my problem is, how do I get to pay taxes?
Oh.
I was only 13 when I became a soldier. I never learned to trade. But now, tell me, where do I go to learn to strangle lions?
Oh, haven't you heard? They're sending you to Nev Shamar.
Where?
Nev Shamar, the training center. There's nothing I can do for you anymore. There you'll be taught shop work or anything else you think you're suited for.
Oh, well, that's fine. It's fine, but Nev Shamar, is that far?
A short ride on the bus.
Well, tickets are expensive. I can walk.
You've heard of Tinker to Evers to Chance? Well, for David, the Malbin program went from the rehabilitation center to the hospital at Be'er Yaakov to the training center at Nev Shamar. And so, finally, David, with his friend Moshe, was able to become a working citizen of the Free State of Israel, with all the privileges inscribed thereto, including the right to complain.
Some lunch. I put a whole week's meat ration into this sandwich, and now the whole darn thing is stuck in my back cavity.
Huh?
Oh, never mind. You wouldn't appreciate it anyhow.
I'm sorry, Moshe. I wasn't even listening. I was thinking of our boss, Mr. Cherney. Business hasn't been too good. In the old country, they used to say Cherney made such gloves people forgot to take them off when they bathed. Here, the trouble is the factory's too small. He doesn't have enough machines, and he hasn't got the capital to really expand.
Well, how does that concern us? I don't see what we can do about it.
Listen, Moshe, suppose we went to him and made him a proposition. Mr. Cherney, Moshe and I are here as a committee of two.
A delegation. Oh, this sounds familiar. Listen, fellas, if it's about a raise, I'm paying all I can afford.
Keep the wages.
Keep.
Just pay me the deductions. I'll be better off.
Please, Moshe, this is serious. Mr. Cherney, how many people work here?
About two-thirds.
Oh, very good, Cherney. I must remember that. How many people work here? About two-thirds.
If it was any funnier, I'd be bankrupt.
Well, suppose you could employ 40 people. You could make twice as much.
And if I had 100, I'd make five times. But if they were all turning out sewing machines, then this would be a business.
Suppose we could get you the machines.
How?
We talked it over with the people at Malbin. You can get a loan from them. Enough for 20 more machines. But?
But, oh, what a lovely world this would be if it weren't for that one little word. Well, what's the catch?
For every machine, you agree to hire a handicapped worker.
Look, fellas, I don't want to sound tough. But you have to understand, I am not a benevolent society.
Listen, Mr. Czerny, these people may be handicapped, but they're handicapped in your favor. A man with one arm, if he's with you, can cut more than a man with two.
And an operator without legs doesn't run to the water fountains all day.
Well, it might not hurt to have a little talk with your people.
The loan has been paid back three times, so there aren't 40 machines, there are over 100. And it was on one of his visits in connection with this transaction that David had a sudden, unexpected encounter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You big idiot. Why don't you big guys watch where you're going?
Jonah.
What, do I know you? The voice sounds familiar, but you knocked off my glasses.
Yeah, here they are.
Better. Oh, much better. Well, thank goodness they're not cracked or anything.
Now, do you know me? What?
David? That can't be. David Levitt?
Have I changed that much? I know I'm taller.
Yes, I've heard about your legs. No, it isn't that. It's everything about you. And tell me, what have you been doing? Why are you here?
I came about the Czerny Glove Factory.
Oh, yes, yes. I'd heard they'd taken a batch of handicapped people. If it's a job you want, maybe I can help you. We've given them several loans, you know.
I know. I arranged them.
You?
I'm the manager.
That big plant?
It's a good job. Pays well. Even with the deductions, I can afford a wife.
Oh, you're considering, huh?
Considered. We're expecting.
Working, a fine job, a family, all in 2 years. Doesn't seem possible. You remember the first time you came to my office?
Yes.
I asked you what you hoped for, and you said that all you wanted was a sunny corner.
I couldn't have said such a sick thing.
You're right. You didn't say it. It was altogether another David.
You know, I often wanted to go back and thank you for what you did for me. But...
Too busy, huh?
No. I just didn't know where to begin. I mean, so many people have helped me. You, all the doctors at Bar Yaakov, Shilamit taught me to walk, the men at Nev Shemar who taught me a trade, all the people who contribute to Malbin that I've never met and never could meet. How do you thank an army? So the only way I can do it is by passing it along.
It was a strong, tall David now, too big for bitterness, who with his wife climbed a hill in Haifa overlooking the harbor one Sunday.
Just a little bit higher, Mrs. Levitt. Now we can see the whole harbor.
Oh, please, David. How can I climb in my condition?
Oh, yes, Shalana. Are you all right?
Yes.
Well, you look white. The baby's all right?
The baby's fine. I should be as good.
It'll be a boy, I know it. And we'll call him Solomon.
Why?
Because it says in the Bible, the son of David is Solomon. And he was the wisest man that ever lived. You know why?
Why?
Because he knew that the most important thing in the world was for people to stop being bitter and to love one another. He wrote a poem about it, the Song of Songs. I'll read it to you when we get home. Or maybe I'll write you one. A man should write his own poem.
What's gotten into you? It must be the altitude.
I just feel good. Look, down below, they're unloading that ship.
New batch. Look at them coming off. People look so tired, discouraged.
They'll change. There's something in the air of Israel that makes you change. Oh, it's good to be alive here. To stand on your own two feet. Shalamet, I made a joke.
David!
Just wait till I tell Moshe.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. William Rosenwald, General Chairman of the United Jewish Appeal. Mr. Rosenwald.
The program you've just heard dramatizes the solving of a great human problem, the care and the rehabilitation of handicapped immigrants to Israel. But that problem is only one of a great many human needs which are met by the United Jewish Appeal. In many European countries, in half a dozen Muslim lands, here in our own country and in Israel. UJA assistance spells the difference between despair and hope, between life and death, for nearly 500,000 persons every day. This democratic, voluntary, humanitarian cause was founded at the height of the Hitler tyranny. In 17 years, it has aided or rescued 2.25 million persons, victims of every kind of totalitarian oppression. More than 800,000 refugees have been helped to take up new lives in Israel alone. Hundreds of thousands of others have been enabled to find new hope and new faith in other democratic lands. But today, a wave of tension grips still another segment of Jewry overseas. Tens of thousands in Morocco and Tunisia cry out for speedy sanctuary in Israel. This cry comes at a time when the men, women, and children of Israel are faced with a grave emergency of their own. Israel's people are determined to keep their gates of freedom wide open to all those who want to enter, but they cannot give the help they once gave. Because of this, freedom-loving people everywhere, acting through the United Jewish Appeal, will want to do everything possible to facilitate the prompt migration of those who must leave North Africa. Americans of all faiths and creeds, all who are concerned with advancing freedom and furthering democracy, are united in their humanitarian aim to aid these men, women, and children to reach Israel in 1956. There, as in America, they can walk in dignity as free men.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenwald. Our Eternal Light drama today, The First Ingredient, was written by Jesse Sandler. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Roy Shield. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were John Sylvester, Lola Piza, Raymond Edward Johnson, Leon Janney, and Alexander Scorby. This is Mel Brandt. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.